and therefore it is said, going on to the next stage of the path, that independence upon sukha, independence upon one's experience of purely spiritual happiness, there arises samadhi. Now this is very significant. Samadhi, of course, is usually translated as concentration or as meditation, but that doesn't help us very much. But it's very significant that samadhi, or concentration, to translate it provisionally, arises independence upon sukha. It's very significant indeed. It means there's no true concentration, no true meditation, therefore, without happiness. If you're not a happy person, or if you aren't even experiencing happiness, you can't concentrate, you can't meditate. Now, most people think of concentration in a quite different way. They think that concentration is something to be gained by force of will. They say, well, here am I. Now it's my meditation hour. My mind is buzzing, full of idle thoughts. There's the traffic going on up and down outside. I'm sure there's going to be a knock on the door, but I am going to concentrate. I don't particularly want to, but I've made up my mind I will. I'm going to force my mind, fix it on that object. And I'm going to do that with the help of an exercise. I've got a little technique of concentration, a little concentration exercise, and I'm going to do that. With the help of that, I'll fix my mind, and that's my concentration, that's my meditation. So most people think in this way, quite literally. But one can say that meditation is not just a question of the application of techniques, not even of the right techniques. Meditation is much more a matter of gradual growth. That is, independence upon our experience of suffering in life arises faith. Independence on our experience of faith, that arises satisfaction and delight. Independence on that, that arises interest, enthusiasm, rapture, ecstasy. Independence upon that, calm and tranquility. Independence upon that, purely spiritual happiness. And then, independence upon that, growing out of it quite naturally, easily, spontaneously as it were, there arises samadhi, concentration and meditation. If the concentration, if the meditation doesn't grow in this natural, spontaneous sort of way, if we insist on making it a business of forcible fixation of the mind on an object, there's a great danger of reaction from the unregenerate or unsublimated portions of our psyche. We may manage, through force of will, deliberately, consciously, hold the mind onto a certain object. It may be the breath, it may be a little red disc, it may be anything. Maybe a Buddha image, maybe a mantra. We may succeed in holding the mind onto that for a certain time, but we've done that with the energy of the conscious mind. The unconscious mind isn't cooperating, and sooner or later there's a reaction. And there might even be a sort of breakdown. Now this doesn't mean that exercises are not useful. It doesn't mean that concentration techniques are not useful. They are. They're very useful. But they play very definitely a secondary role. And they're much more effective when the ground has been prepared. In the case of most people, what happens? No real understanding, no real appreciation of the unsatisfactoriness of life. They think life is a good enough sort of thing. They enjoy it just like other people. But they become intellectually convinced about Buddhism, they think. So they classify themselves as Buddhists. So no real experience in the sense of no understanding of the unsatisfactoriness of existence. Therefore no real faith. They're all intellect mostly. Therefore no giving, no moral life very often. Therefore no satisfaction and delight. Therefore no experience of preeti. Therefore no experience of calm, tranquility, and therefore no experience of spiritual happiness, and therefore, of course, no real concentration. That's the plight of most people. But without all those things, without the faith, without the rapture, without the calm, without the spiritual happiness, they just try, by means of an effort of will, to concentrate and to meditate. But that isn't possible. But if one does do these things, if one builds up the faith and so on, then when one does come to concentrate, when one does come to meditate, when one makes use of a meditation technique, then it's much more quickly and much more easily effective. There are the cases, for instance, as we know, of the Buddha's own disciples. We read in the scripture so many times that monk so-and-so went along to the Buddha. The Buddha said a few words and the monk became enlightened. Sometimes the layperson became enlightened. So why was that? Partly at least because the ground was prepared. The Buddha's words fell on prepared ground. Sometimes it might happen that a monk just living in the forest would see a leaf fall from the tree. And from that he gets an intense realization of impermanence. And from that intense realization of impermanence he would get almost immediately enlightenment because of the intensity of that realization. In all these cases the ground has been prepared. But in our case, mostly the ground hasn't been prepared. It's full of rocks and stones and weeds and garbage tins and old tin trunks and baths and things of that sort. So the seeds, even if a few of them are scattered there haphazardly, just can't spring up. What to speak of the absence of rain and so on. So the ground must be prepared. There must have been faith. There must have been satisfaction and delight, rapture and so on, all there before. The technique of concentration employed can be really helpful and really fruitful. But when that does take place, then independence upon that experience of spiritual happiness, there arises samadhi, concentration or meditation.